good to have you here. Go ahead and start the recording.
Okay.
We're now in a publicly noticed Board of County Commissioners meeting. This is especially designed for a work session. And I thought it'd probably be best if we go around the room and just introduce who we are so we can know names and faces. Now that we don't have the masks on, it'd be easier to identify. I recognize some. I'm Commissioner Bill Lee. And we'll go there and there around the room. How's
Commissioner
that?
Commissioner Tom Sakovich.
Commissioner Amelia Gartner.
Jeff Peterson, Nebo School District.
Michael Harrison, Nebo School District.
Ben Manoy, County Attorney's Office.
Trina Cole, intern for the County Attorney's Office.
Keith Hertel, Superintendent, Provo School District. I see Rick brought his bodyguards with
him. Well, I brought the people that know stuff. Said I better bring the finance guy and the school nurse coordinator guy. So Rick Nielsen, Nebo District Superintendent.
Shane Farnsworth, Alpine School District Superintendent.
Brandy, welcome.
Do I introduce
myself?
Yes. Alice Black, Commission Clerk.
Evelyn Coleman Hill, Public Information Officer of the Health Department.
Rustin Slack, yeah.
Laurie Barber, Nurse Director, Utah County Health Department.
Suzanne Livingston here, Director over School Nursing.
Kim Lowe, our Supervisor, Alpine School District, and Utah County Health Department.
And Dave Shawcroft, County Attorney's Office.
Eric?
Oh, got to me. Sorry, guys. Still in prep mode. Eric Edwards, Utah County Health Department. Thanks for everybody coming today. Appreciate it.
And I'm Ezra from Commissioner Gardner's office.
Okay.
Okay. If you're not around the table.
We are recording this, so if you're not around the table, speak loud or stand up, and we'll try to project this direction. So we have a presentation. Eric's going to give the presentation. And then, of course, after our this sounds like such a formal meeting, doesn't it? But after the presentation, we'll just have discussion, dialogue with it. And then after that, we do have to have public comments since we noticed it. I don't see any public here, but you never know.
And I have a board meeting tonight, so I have to leave at about 4:10.
Okay.
Thank you. We will move right along.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be that. So.
Well, it's already up and running. So here are, if you can just pass these around so you guys don't have to take notes or anything, go ahead and take one of those. So just why we're here, you know, we all have a shared vision for school health and specifically for those that we serve. We're county servants and we're here to serve the children of Utah County and for the school districts, obviously their mission is to educate and provide that environment and that opportunity. Public health is to ensure that we can heighten health and wellness. It's hard for a child to learn and to grow and to progress if they don't have the help and wellness that's required for that. So so that's just that first slide is just overall that's what grounds me when I'm thinking of this issue, the importance of it. So just a quick summary, how this started. A few months ago, the County Commission asked for the Health Department to explore decreasing the portion of school health funding for across the districts. And we recently met with each school district superintendent and business managers, and they after talking, and I'll let them speak for themselves, but Alpine and Nebo and Provo districts all were concerned and wanted to keep, if I can speak for them right now, funding levels consistent with how they have been. And so now we're at this joint meeting to hopefully bring everybody on the same page and have a clear path moving forward as to the next steps. So some key points from our point of view, we've had over five decades of partnership between the school districts. That's a significant amount of time. And because of that, I believe, factually, we have an unparalleled program anywhere within the state because of that cooperative relationship we've had between the health department, the county, and also the three school districts. And we're hoping, and feel it's imperative to preserve that working relationship that all of us would agree, especially has COVID not proven that out? The need to work together and collaborate. You name any issue, and it came through schools and the health department and society, and we were lucky to have a collaborative relationship to navigate how hard and difficult, hardest, I think, in my career from a public health career service point, most difficult and challenging thing I've had to face, and I think administrators and teachers, parents, kids would say the same. And we lessened that. It was still difficult, but lessened that by having a good relationship, working together. It's also important to know that the Utah County Health Department relies on school health nurses in other ways. They work in the schools. They provide school health nursing services, but it's also been synergistic for us to be able to draw on them for other things. If you remember the measles outbreak, swine flu, other things like that, to be able to draw on nurses that can come in and provide assistance in all of these areas. I won't go through everything, but the bullet points name them, such as our ongoing health clinics, emergency responses, the annual flu clinics, epidemiology, disease investigation. We can't just automatically hire people as emergencies arise, so it's been nice to draw on a pool of 51 full-time, part-time nurses to assist the health department on that side, and then also there's some overlap with the helping the schools with those issues too. So currently, the funding formulas we have, so we've had this relationship for over 50 years. We also have decades and decades of an evolving funding formula that is incredibly complex and to the point where when you go through it, it's nebulous and it's hard to articulate exactly what it means and what each partner is paying for. And that's a problem that we hope to rectify with this process that we're going through right now. So we want to simplify the formulas. Right now, we have formulas by district, but to do that, we need better accounting codes, and so I'll explain that in just a minute. So we need to better determine accurate admin costs, also the opportunity to capture and understand savings and credits which currently aren't built into contracts that we have. There are offset fiscal years, which further makes this more complex. We have the calendar year for the county, and then we have the schools that operate on the July 1 through June 30th year. And so for this process to start, you know, a couple months before the start of the school year, you know, poses difficulty for the school districts to implement any changes. So that's another key thing to know. Reducing time and opportunity to negotiate and understand where we are. So, desired outcome. We're getting into the nuts and bolts of what we're proposing here, hopefully to find what works best for both parties, the county and representative districts. We're hoping that each can pay their fair share of the FTEs for the efforts contributed by the school health nurses. So, and doing so, also we want to preserve that synergy that I mentioned and that collaborative relationship that we have on an ongoing basis and not jeopardize that.
And I would add one more thing to the desired outcome, and that's just to make it so that the formula makes sense and so that it's something that we can predict, right? Like I was the auditor before I was a commissioner, and I looked at the numbers, I'm like, where did these numbers come from? Nobody on my staff could tell me where the percentage numbers came from, right? Nobody on your staff can, because it predates both of them. And so if we can have something that is more predictive, and then if we know that there's like a 4% COLA year over year, if we know our costs increase 4% over year, that's something we can plan on. So I would like desired outcomes, obviously, to partner and everyone pay their fair share, and obviously to continue that synergy and that collaboration. But I also want something from an accounting perspective that makes sense and that is something that we can plan on every year. Especially with our fiscal years being off, I think that that's imperative.
Spot on. I can't articulate that better. So, thanks. Currently, just to understand, this makes it even more complex to add to the complexity that Amelia just shared with the accounting piece. Certain things are being covered by the district, certain things are being covered by the county health department, or the county, I should say. And just quickly to go over those. So because the school district or the school nurses don't work all day, every day, they don't in our health department, clinics and things like that, they reside in the schools where they should be most of the time. So overhead and rent and lots and lots of costs overhead support is covered by the school districts. Think about lighting and all sorts of things. The districts also purchase and the computers and provide IT support for them. Also, you, for, I think, as long as I've known, for the 18 or so years I've worked for the county, special ed has been paid 100% by the relative school districts. And other, as negotiated in prior years, with my predecessor, Ralph Clegg, and the school health nurse program, I know there were other full-time FTEs that were paid for by grants and adding further complexity to all of this. So the districts do pay 100% of many FTEs and 100% of the special ed. Also pay for the school nurse bureau director for the much of the salary for that and benefits. And then also, not every school district is the same. It's important to remember that Alpine and Nebo and Provo all have their own mix of what they have. For example, Provo School District has a mix of school health nursing and social workers in the schools. And Alpine has a higher load of school health nurses in comparison to counseling and other things like that. So not everything's exactly the same. And then also, the school districts provide a benefit to the county in that, I mean, we have a living example right now, going on right now with the old Walmart currently. That's a point of distribution right now, serving as a vaccine facility that has helped the county out. And that's in our plans. We have had points of distribution in our pod planning for over a decade now with the school districts, Salem and I believe it's Timpview. At Lone Peak?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. High school? And we do.
Even the elementaries can be.
By agreement. And mm-hmm. There's just more points of synergy that our county benefits from that to a higher level than I've seen in other. There's 12 other local health districts. That's another benefit the county receives from this partnership. Now, on our side, this has not been accurately, because of the formula, has not been accurately analyzed nor calculated the admin support provided by the county. So this is just those that I could think of. I'm sure there are others, but human resources, the hiring, onboarding, and all of those. I know that there's also things that are done at the district level because of policies that you have. But then the legal side, you know, we have our county representative, Ben Benoit, that helps us with our contracting and other legal issues as they arise, grammar requests and HIPAA-related information. All flows through the legal payroll, auditing, finance, also is something that has not been fully vetted and understood. School health nurses also bill time to other grants. So if they're doing a flu clinic and we have a flu grant, they're able to bill towards those areas of effort. And so that's another thing to know. Every school nurse is required to have a medical officer across any program that we have, and one benefit that the county can provide is we have a medical officer for which the school health nurses consult with. In fact, just yesterday I was at an annual training where Dr. Flinders was going over key critical elements to look for children presenting with certain symptomology. Or asthma, or he went through a whole slew of different things, and so that's another importance of having someone that can answer. While we were in the meeting, while he was giving his presentation, just as a side note, he got a call that interrupted that he had to answer a clinical question for a nurse right there while in the middle of that, just to show all day that he gets pinged by needs, and so that's a critical need. And then training and development, county. Pays for the nursing licenses and their phone support as they use their own phones. If there are other things that I didn't notice on either side, some of the superintendents and business managers and legal representatives are going, well, wait a sec, we also do this, 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 and that. That's further reasoning why we need to have this accounting process take place to refine it and understand it better understanding and planning purposes, just like Commissioner Gardner mentioned. So moving forward, here's what we're proposing, and this is open for suggestion, comment. This is a draft. This is the most logical and equitable, and in my opinion, ethical proposal that I and our team, and after speaking with countless individuals, what we hope the proposal moving forward can be, and that is, we want to simplify the funding formula and improve accounting accuracy to find out really and discover all costs for the school nurse program to determine what are the fair share of costs, partner to partner. And to do that, how are we going to accomplish that? We want to divide billing codes into each. Right now, there's code 118, school health nursing. If you work for NEBO, Provo, or Alpine, you bill to that number. And so where we can go through and tackle it by looking at every nurse, sometimes nurses cross over and work different districts, and it's complex. And so we haven't had, but what we would like and what we're proposing is to work with the auditor's office between now and I think it's pay period 13. We have 26 pay periods. We're on a 26 pay period system here for the county. Pay period 13, I believe, moving into 14. It actually starts in June, moving into July. We need to have these new buckets of money set up by district so that we can have nurses accurately bill their time by district so that we can have a better picture by district. And then when they're doing non-school nurse functions, working for the county, they're billing those codes, which we already have some programmatic, but we also need to make sure that we're capturing anything that's county time versus school district time, if that makes sense. So that's what we're hoping to do between now and July 1-ish, if I can use that.
Is get those set up between now and July 1.
Correct.
And so then they would start?
Immediately.
Okay.
And in doing that, we will start collecting that valuable information that we're alluding to. And we want to have several months of collecting that data so that we can, moving in the Utah County, since we're a calendar year, we start budgeting like stat. We're going to start entering revenues into our accounting system and finance system in July, and expenditures into July, moving into August. We start 7 to 6 months before, just like I'm sure you guys do for your, you probably start in January for July, right? So in collecting this financial information, we'll have two summer months, basically July and August, and then we'll have September, October of collecting information representing school nurse peer work versus some summer work that they do, flu shots and other things like that. And that will help the county to start their budgetary planning process to accurately plan for starting January 1 of 2022, and giving the school districts 6 months plus another 6 months of planning so that the data that we're sharing with you guys, in addition to us, helps you with understanding the picture of what the fair share is by district, by county. Better than ever before, right? That's the hope and the dream and the wish that we all have. And so allow one full year of tracking to assist the school districts. I'll repeat what I just said to make it clear to everyone. In budgetary preparation for the fiscal cycle beginning July 2022 for the school districts is the proposal. And then that last bullet is simply finding the opportunity as we refine this to credit either partner for budgetary corrections. Like right now, do the districts, you provide quarterly payments by contract, and it's been that way forever, and it's been done dutifully without issue. Well, if there is attrition, there might be cost savings in that attrition that hasn't been captured. Does that make sense? So crediting the county or the district with the billing process would make this as accurate, in my mind, as possible, just using an example. So here's a draft timeline. We've kind of already been over this, but just to set this straight in everybody's mind, what we're proposing. So to complete that, the billing codes, or the accrued term, the buckets of money, or for the nurses and supervisors to bill to, for accurate accounting, to do that and have that finished by June so that by July 1, our nurses are accurately doing that. So in July, we need to have our contracts in place. And Right now, we're proposing to keep things as they have been, just like they have in prior years. We had a 7% increase in our nurses across keeping up with market standards. And so doing that, plus the new positions that the school districts have requested to pay for, and then the school nurses will begin the new codes by district and county. And then in October is when we will solidify the county's budgetary planning for, once approved by the county commission, for January 1. Tell me if there are any fatal flaws in this. And then that's when our school, SNP, that's when our school nurse program budget will begin with the new data. And then February, March, utilize shared finance data too. We can start prior to this, but to help negotiate and the contribution for the upcoming budgetary cycle for July of 2022. April, May, finalize contracts, and then that's when the separate district SMP budget can begin to having a year to understand, and then giving you guys adequate time to prep as complex as, we're just talking of one piece of your big budget pie. I'm sure this is just one more added element of confusion, but any questions or any items for clarification? Try to lay it out as clearly as I could without, this, in my mind, is the most fair and accurate way of really finding out what the fair shares are without being arbitrary. I want to take out the nebulous and the cloudiness in the current contract funding formulas. And it, how beautiful would it be once we know accurately, just say, based on historical data, we know that it's this split on FTEs by district. That would be awesome.
And Eric, you know, and thank you for this is fantastic. Just so you know that what's being proposed here, the commission's in favor of going through a timeline like this. If you want to modify it and change it, we can talk about that. It has been hard for us, as you're probably aware, on your own budgeting processes to go through and have these kind of big unknowns, which we can't explain. And so then you start asking questions, and when you start asking questions, the unknowns become a little bigger. And then, you know, and when you're tagged with other partners in it, then the questions go that direction, and they come back with a big why, and we can't explain why. And so that's, I think this timeline, it has taken a little bit of work for us to get to it. You know, at first we're like, whoa, what are we doing? Why don't we just go a different direction? Let's just move here, let's move quick. Government doesn't move quick. We found that out really quick. but I think as we've refined it from our perspective, it does, it's deliberate. And I think it's an area that we can work through and get to a point to where we all understand it, and at least then we can defend it and we can talk about it and we can work it. And to give you kind of a perspective that we run into, we're actually the chair for Wasatch Behavioral Health, and I know you have clinicians that are in the schools as well, and their model's different than ours, and yet when we see their model, we're wondering, the question comes up, well, why is that model different than the model that we have here, and how does that work compared to what we have with the school nurses? And so we're trying to find the balance of, and it doesn't have to be the same, but I think that at least we should be able to articulate it and understand it, and all the way across the board. And for us, this gives us a direction. And if we can all agree to kind of go down this path, I think we can do it together and maybe get to a point to where then we can have more refined discussions on maybe the finer stuff instead of maybe the bigger areas.
Yeah. I mean, even looking at it, our audit department traditionally just really paid the bills, but we didn't really have the ability to dive into the data easily. And so even one of the things that we're looking at is, what is our administrative overhead cost? Yeah. Today we couldn't tell you that, but we've got the right people in place and we've implemented the tools so that hopefully a year from now we can tell you that, right? So we're working on that on our end too, and this is just, I think, one more step of that, where it's like, we want to be able to, things need to make sense, you know.
Is July the best time to start this, given that it's a real downtime for schools?
It's the fiscal year. That's why we figured, just with your fiscal year.
So will you balance one year against another year in July to help you sort through those shifts? Because it's not a representative time of year with schools. So if you're looking at what things are costing, things are not going to cost what they do in October.
That's part of the complexity. And so I think it's taking 4 months to have a better snapshot. If we start, if we have a system in place, we can start capturing refined data, then we can analyze it with having some of the non-traditional school health nursing functions happen in the summertime. Rather than waiting until next year to start collecting that, we have an opportunity to start in July. And then when September, I don't know if my logic is making any sense, but if we're starting to capture the start of the school year with September, and I realize school health nurses work even during the summer with school health. They do lesson planning and they do individual health action planning and they do CPR training for your school staff. And so there's all of these other school functions going on in the summer. But I can confidently think that with help with the auditor's office, we can come up with an accounting process that will accurately capture what we need, meaning by district. And if we start now, we won't lose time. And so I don't know if that answers your question.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm just wondering about accurate data.
Are you using the 4 months of time study to base the next contract on, or will your billing be an after-the-fact reflection of where the nurses spent their time?
I think it would have to be an after-the-fact. I might have to rely on our finance guru and Amelia here with this question, but...
Well, I think at first, for example, we could go through 4 months to, because see, we don't typically, we adopt the tentative budget in October, but we don't adopt our final budget until November, December. So that would give us the ability to look at July, August, September, October, when we kind of came up with that tentative contract. But it wouldn't even come into effect for school districts until July of the following year. So we would actually have the ability to adjust if we needed to in our budget. So we would plan our budget based off of looking at like July, August as kind of summer months and September, October as kind of in school months. And we would create like an estimate of that. But let's say that like next March or next April, we discovered that like our model was way off and we needed to adjust it. We could open our budget and adjust it and have that done before your fiscal year in July 1 so that you could plan on that.
So are you anticipating that next July, July 2022, we'll know what our budget will be for the entire school year? Or will
Correct.
It be, you'll invoice us each quarter for what happened the previous quarter?
I think we'll have a better idea in July on what your budget will be for the next school year so that you can plan on that. And if there, you know, if something like COVID were to happen and we have, then that we may do some adjustment on the back end. But I don't think it would be that you'd get billed more. It would just be that maybe we bill you a little bit less because schools were shut down and those people were being billed to another fund. Does that make sense? So I don't think you would, any of the adjustment in billing, I don't foresee that being an overage that you would have to account for.
I'm hoping there's flexibility in this new system to provide savings to the districts by where it's not built into a contract right now. Does that make sense?
Right, so the contract would be basically the contract that we would sign with you would say, if the school nurses stay at the same rate over the next year, this will be your cost and we'll bill you on a quarterly basis, but there may be some savings.
But your point's valid, because what we want is as much data as possible.
Good accurate data.
And good accurate data.
Right.
And so in the funding proposal moving forward, it allows for 1 year of tracking starting July 1st to July 1st. The problem that we run into is that we're on different cycles, mm-hmm. right? And so you're going to start doing your analysis of your funding before we have all the data on the tail end of that year. That's where I think we've got to be able to work and say, let's put some flexibility in there to make sure it comes up so that we can modulate it to make it work, because I don't know how we would have more information, and we're going to have less information as for us as we get to ours as well. Mm-hmm. So when we start doing our our analysis with our budget, we're not going to have a full year. We're only going to have a couple of months. We'll have a couple of months in the summer and a little bit there. And then now we're going to start to have to start projecting into the budget into the next year.
Right, and so we'll guess as best we can.
We're going to be guessing as well to a certain extent on this first year as we're looking at all the information and data, trying to get to that data, but then we'll have to just kind of move with it.
And then hopefully by 2023, we have good solid data.
I think timing-wise, we would want to get that estimate January, February
right.
of 2022, so it's worked into our budget.
Sure you would, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and we would be able to do that because that's right after we've set our budget. So we'll set our budget in November or December. So by January, you'll have numbers for the 2022 cycle. Those could change the following year.
But they're not going to be perfect numbers. There's no way they'll be perfect.
Agreed. I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would have that
timing to say, don't we can't get it in July.
Yeah, you can't get it.
Yeah. No, you would have it. You would have it by January because we will have adopted our budget. And then if we find in 2023 that it needs to adjust a little bit more because now we have more than a full year of data.
Yeah.
Then I think as long as we're all open to that, I mean, the idea is to just get better data.
So it sounds to me, as I project ahead, this is the first of what is potentially a few meetings with the people who are here.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that might be helpful, and I realize we don't have our estimates yet, and you maybe don't have yours, but we had CARES Act 1, we had ESSER 2, and now we've got ESSER 3 coming. And if there are shortfalls of any kind, I agree with the idea of putting together a really understandable budgetary plan just to be able to justify what we're using and where. But I also wonder if there are shortfalls, is there money available to help solve that? I mean, this is potentially caused initially to some degree by COVID. So this has brought it to the fore at least. So it'd be interesting for us in a future meeting to just maybe talk through what ESSER can do for our respective groups.
You're calling it, we call it ARPA, I think you're calling it the same thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably.
CARES, ARPA, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Shotgun full of money.
There you go.
Yeah. There's this for education, ARPA.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
With a lot of constraints.
Yeah, you have your own ARPA money then, basically.
Yeah. I think that works, and that makes, I think that's a good discussion to have at a follow-up meeting once we have
absolutely.
More guidance.
Sure. You bet.
Okay. To build on a couple of things that these others have said, if you're comfortable with the timeline, I don't see any challenges with the timeline. If that works for the county, then great. I think we're all in on the formula conversation, right? I mean, I was sitting here, words like, we want the formula to be consistent and sensible and predictable and accurate. And so I think that's a really helpful and healthy conversation to continue to have. One thing I want to make sure and throw on the table for future conversations is the nuanced nature of school nursing when we think about budget codes, right? And I'm just putting it on the table for, not for today, but as we're contemplating it moving forward. I'm not confident that school time equals school nurse time. And I don't know how to, we're gonna have to be really mindful on how to include that and incorporate that in formulas that make sense to our shared taxpayers or our shared voting public, right? And I just go to, I'll say it starkly this way, because I don't think this is where we're headed, but it's like, well, if there were no school nursing, right? If that suddenly disappeared, and I'm intentionally being stark for a reason. If school nursing never existed again, moving forward, well, what are all the services that would have to happen under the umbrella of community nursing services, if you will, in order to meet the needs of children and communities? And I just think we're gonna have to be mindful of that as we put formulas together, because I think it's a misnomer to believe that if they're in the schools 80% of the time, then they were, quote, school nurses 80% of the time. You know, and again, I don't know the answer. That's why I'm glad we're having conversations. I think that's why you've invited us to come sit down and talk this through and say, well, somewhere in there, there's this, there's this nuanced component that says, well, if they weren't in the schools providing services to children, then what would be the cost to the county to be providing services to children, the same services to children in other forums and other formats? And that's what I mean by nuanced. So I just invite us to not be too stark when we look at billing codes, to think that that's a quick and easy answer to what is school nursing and what is not school nursing. I think it's more nuanced than that. Is that a fair thing to throw on the table?
Yeah, and I think it works, you know, when we talk about like training, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When they're in training, sometimes the training they're in might be here at the county.
Right.
And it could go both ways, but the training they're in is helping them be a school nurse.
Right.
But they're sitting in a county building while they take that training.
Here's a perfect example. Yesterday was the annual School of Health Nursing training meeting, and they were in a school district building, and the training was being provided by Dr. Flinders.
Yeah.
So there you have an overlap.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's not as cut and dry, but that's the difficulty.
Well, and that's kind of why I throw it out there, because we have interlocal agreements with
all
8 cities, 10, you know, you got them with more cities than I do in Alpine, you know, but the word we use, and you've actually included this in essence in your presentation, we always say, what's fundamentally fair? We always want to be at the table committed to fundamental fairness. And fundamental fairness requires a conversation.
Yeah.
It's hardly ever a spreadsheet that spits out, oh, this was fundamentally fair and everybody, the formula spit it out. But I do think that, I'll go back to formulas. That's why I started there. I still think that formulas have to be sensible and accurate and consistent and predictable. And
right.
So all of that can happen, I believe, in a formula. But then we've still got to add the human element to it and say, okay, does this fundamentally seem fair? And I think we're all committed to it. I'm only teeing that up because I know we're going to meet some more. So
you just made the conversation harder.
I always.
Well, I think that's a great point.
That's my goal, Commissioner.
I know.
I think we started this conversation when I was still the auditor.
Yeah.
And I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
So I can get complex formulas.
Yeah.
Like I took differential equations as a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And I had staffers, I had 3 CPAs, and we were like, where did this formula come from? You know,
well, we're all scratching our heads off,
right,
too.
You've got 3 CPAs and an engineer, and we can't figure out what the numbers mean, right? And so we want the numbers to make sense, but that's where the negotiation, what you're talking about is where the negotiation takes place.
Yeah.
Where we start with numbers, then we come to an agreement,
and
then we have a predictable model.
Yeah.
And that helps us for budgeting, and that helps you for budgeting.
Yeah, agreed.
And if we just know there will be growth every year.
Yeah.
I think it'd be helpful in that process, what Rick is saying, is to define roles and responsibilities as well. So the codes reflect the role and responsibility that nurse provides in the school.
Yeah.
And then second, I just want to express appreciation. When we first heard of this, our fear was it would be affected this fiscal year.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the sensitivity and the understanding that if you give us a year to work through this, we can come up with a better solution. So thank you for that concession. It could have been in place right away, and we would have been scrambling to make adjustments, and it wouldn't have furthered the collaborative relationship as much as giving another year for us to figure this out and work it. So thank you for...
Well, I have to tell you, it's been a process of moving, because it's not that that was not on the table as a thought. I'm just being totally honest with you about it.
Absolutely.
But it was a working, and some of us were at, you know, trying to figure stuff out as we're going down through it, trying to find something that makes sense.
And appreciate the advocacy by the school nurses, by Eric, and appreciate you understanding. We feel heard in you saying, you know what, let's slow this down a little bit and give us a chance to do this right. So thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we build budgets too, and we know that last minute budget changes can be difficult, so.
Well, our shared entities are a lot more alike than different, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're elected officials, our bosses are elected officials, that's who we're gonna go report to, of course, and we build budgets based on taxpayer dollars, that's what all of us do. And so we all have fiduciary focus that are really shared initiatives, if you will, or were shared directives that we just answered with the same constituency, so yeah.
For me, this was a much-needed discussion. It would have been ideal if it could have started earlier, because even to me, a year might be tight, because you have just the 4 months to plan before we have to make our budget. So I'm keenly aware that you have a very tight window to work within, and we're trying to adjust to fit your needs, all of our needs, actually.
So recognizing that you will only have about 4 months before you can build your model, if it's not that accurate, if you needed more time, there will be a chance to come back and revisit this into a second year.
That's exactly what Bill and Amelia are referring to. Yes, we want to be as flexible as possible.
I would hope that this is not, I mean, Eric said it best, it's a draft. I would hope that we could agree that this is a conversation piece, and that it's written in pencil so that we can erase and modify as we move along and move down through it. Realizing probably the first year or so as we're trying to get this right, I mean, making it fundamentally fair across the board is a great goal. It probably won't actually stick the first little bit, because we're going to have to adjust. But I think if we're all on the same page, trying to find where that fits and how that works, at least it can get closer to the goal. And I would propose that no matter what the discussion is and how it is, we should be able to, in this table, at least bring it out there for discussion and say it. And I appreciate Rick saying, hey, this is, you know, how does this look? And for us to say, hey, this is not fitting our model, or maybe this is fitting a little differently, whatever those conversations are, let's have them, and let's just bring it out so we can kind of work down through it.
Yeah, my guess is we'll have preliminary data January of 2022 that we can work through, but my guess is we're going to have to adjust that January of 2023 once we have another year underneath us.
I think it's more productive for us to have, this is brutal to have to get so many individuals in leadership capacities together, but props to all of you for doing this. And in a vacation month too, I can't believe this actually happened. This is like impossible.
This vacation month?
what's a vacation?
For COVID, I guess there is no vacation month anymore. But how soon would we want, would it be productive to have another meeting of the minds of, you know, maybe it's business managers from the districts, but I think it's healthy even if we have the superintendents and business managers of the districts, plus the commissioners and health department representatives and the auditor's office to lend their expertise to inform this process.
I think so, probably the next step would be business managers with the auditor's office.
Okay.
Then we don't have to publicly notice the meeting, and it doesn't become as big of an ordeal.
Sense.
And they're the ones that have the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
So I would say business managers with the auditor's office. Okay. And of course, the people from the health department that are on the finance team. Health department, finance team, auditor's office, business managers.
Yep.
And then we can start discussing what things, you know, you made a list of the things off the top of your head.
The billing codes.
Codes, that's
the
code,
that,
first,
that's
right?
Got to
yep.
be top.
Codes.
Because that starts us on the data.
Yeah, codes. And then beyond that, this list of the, you know, what are the school district contributions? What are the county contributions? I guarantee there's stuff on those lists that we didn't think of, that they will.
Yeah. As a reminder, the contracts with the school districts end at the end of this month, as you all know.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to add that deadline, you could always extend or continue the current contracts if we're not ready, but if we can get this all done contractually before the end of this month, that would be the goal from my office's standpoint.
That's a meaningful window of work. That only gives them 2 weeks. That's it.
My guess would be that we extend the current contract.
Yes.
Well,
with some modifications, because I think you guys are adding some school nurses.
We can budget in the next year's amounts and then amend those ones. So we at least have the next year, fiscal year 22's amounts.
Yes.
And then amend it to add data collection and reporting and that sort of thing.
I would say that. I would say that, where we amend it with the 2022 fiscal year.
That way they at least have money, they can start the new year, the nurses are covered.
Right. And
the school districts, then we can add this into it.
Yeah.
So you'll put that together, I assume, because when I was going through the timeline, I looked at July saying keep the current contract levels, right? And it doesn't say for the entire year. I mean, are we going to have a contract just like last year? Is it a full year contract? Or are we
I would recommend that, and then we can always amend it up or down.
I would too. that to me is easiest as we're collecting data to have a contract that's the full year budget and we move forward with that. If you want to add a data collection component to it that says we'll amend, then we can amend.
Start with the base.
Yeah.
And then we can amend from there.
That works.
As needed.
So I'm looking at the last page, page 5, and looking at the draft timeline. The next time we would need, this group would need to meet, would be when?
Question. Do we need a clear model in place, data collected at that point to inform our decision making?
Well, I think this group, we could probably go all the way till January, but if we had the health department and the business managers and the auditor's office meet in October, then I don't know if we need to meet again until January.
As long as they covered the roles and responsibilities of the nurses, that
yes.
We may need to, you know, your team and others to look at that and say, okay, if these are the billing codes, how are we doing, what are the roles, responsibilities, that nuanced mm-hmm. piece that...
I think we should meet in between, at least one time in between to talk. I mean, after we get kind of the billing codes and everything in place, that there probably needs to be a discussion where we sit down and talk.
That would probably happen with the amended contracts. So mm-hmm. once we'll get this month, we'll get the base contract, and once billing codes and everything is finalized, we'll amend that contract in a month or two, whatever it needs to
but
be.
But before we amend it.
Well, exactly. Before we amend it, we probably should have a conversation. Billing codes okay. and how it's going to be collected, et cetera. We can build that into an amended contract.
And yeah. that could be like a July, August?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. But then a smaller group probably needs to meet to create the billing codes, right? And maybe
that's what Amelia
yeah, just yeah. a smaller group yeah. in the next yeah. few weeks, probably.
Yeah.
So it would be all right to have Eric be that point person on that for the organization yeah. point of getting everybody together since he's been doing that anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm the only one that won't say aye. that's great. It will also be helpful to have, as we're going along, for information and discovery to lend itself upward to the superintendents and leadership too. So you don't have to wait until January to have an update.
Yeah.
So we'll try to have recurring updates on at least a monthly basis in progress so that you know where we are, what milestones we've hit, and hopefully haven't fallen behind on. And so that you guys will know, all of us will know in a transparent way that we're on track. As discussed today, that would be my proposal. So.
Sounds like a plan.
That was kind of my thought on when do we meet again. It's like, you'll know when we need to meet again.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like,
all right.
Yeah.
Really, I think yeah. you're taking the lead on the granular detail of it. And I think I trust you enough to know you'll have a sense when you're just going, I probably ought to get the commissioners and the superintendents in here for a conversation.
That's
this fair. Moved far enough down the path that we might have some things that would be surprises to them, and in our jobs we never like surprises, right? So I just trust you to let us know when you guys meet.
I should have added a bullet point.
You love surprises.
Eliminate surprises.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm dealing with kids. You get surprises every day.
I was an elementary teacher. What am I saying? No.
Yeah.
I just have one comment. So the contracts to be initiated, that will include the increased amount of nursing time that the all three districts have
requested,
expressed, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
That would start, so we can build that in, and we can right. start getting mm-hmm. those positions opened up, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Correct.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. We have a plan. Thanks. Moving forward.
Good job.
I wonder just
any
for.
We'll hear from Eric when we should meet yep. together yep. as well.
Yep.
And I'll try to avoid making it weekly.
Yeah, that'd be great, especially during vacation month.
And you'll organize something for the business managers and your staff and the auditor's office.
Just
work
for
with you to make sure I have the right players.
Yeah, office. Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about that.
Just for our public meeting, I do have to ask if there's any public comment. Look around.
Yeah, are the Jazz going to win tonight?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Is that a public comment or a prediction?
I'll let you decide. I won't make that.
Connolly's playing.
Is he?
I don't know. I don't
he's
know.
Out.
Is he out?
Joe Ingles matches up good.
Going to be close then. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. We met your deadline, so you're good.
Yeah.
Michael and Jeff are my two contacts.
Perfect.
Back, do you want to try to plan something out? Before the end of June to try a point as far as the nurses are going to be doing, you know, based on the duty or the function they perform.
Motion to second. If you're all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Either bill the county or the district. It's probably more complicated than that.